So Brother Bob's got a few of these. If you have not, if you weren't here Sunday or did not get a Bible bookmark, raise your hand real high. I'm going to have him pass those out to you. If you want to continue on in quarter two, raise your hand real high and we'll get those to you. Yeah. And these are also on our website and on our church app under reading plan on the app. You have to kind of dig for it. Again, the idea of digging, you have to click Sundays and then Bible and then Bible reading plan to get to it. But anyways, so if you're ever on vacation, it's on the website and it's on your app. So if you ever leave your bookmark at home, but praise the Lord. I have a good word for you this evening, and I call it Easter victory. And I believe it's just going to be a good shot in the arm for your faith and mine. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I preach for my own sake. It's good for me. I need the food too. So I'm going to bring a word tonight that I think will help me as much as you. So let's pray. We'll jump right into the Bible. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you that you are the God who has awed us and caused us to stand back and wonder time and time again. We thank you for your working in our life, Lord, that you're not distant, you're not far off, you're right here with us. You're in the midst of our family, you're in the midst of our job, you're in the midst of our hobbies, you're in the midst of our recreation, you're in the midst of our sleep even, Lord. We just thank you that you're present with us always. And even now, Lord, as we dig into your scriptures, we just thank you that, Holy Spirit, you reveal truth. You help us understand things we've never seen before. You open our eyes to behold you, Master. And you strengthen us in our faith tonight. May our faith go from one level to another in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the book of Jude tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Jude, that little book right before Revelation, right near the back. Jude was Jesus's half-brother, along with James. So these guys were really close to Jesus. They knew him well from an earthly standpoint. But after Jesus resurrected, they knew him from a whole different angle. Amen? They said, wow, this is not just my half-brother. It's the Lord, yeah. And so we're going to read one verse in Jude verse 3. There's just one chapter. It's a really easy read for the whole chapter. I'm going to read it in a modern translation. It says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." So he says here, I wanted to have a party. I wanted us to wear our party hats and talk about how great our salvation is. But instead, I felt like we needed to wear our combat helmets and get ready for a fight. That's basically what he's saying. He said, we need to contend for the faith. Say contend. Contend means somebody's trying to wrestle you out of something that's yours. And he said, this is a faith that was once for all delivered. How many of you know when the word is sown in your life, there's something delivered to you? And he said, this is a faith that was delivered to the saints from the apostles. He's talking about that which you've heard from other guys like James, my other brother, right? And Peter and John and different other writers of the New Testament. He's saying there were those who entrusted us with a word, a faith. And he said, I felt like I needed to shift gears. I was going to preach this way and the Holy Spirit shifted me this way. I was going to celebrate how great our salvation is. And it is great. Amen. We have a great salvation. But he said, I felt like I needed to spend the rest of my book, and it's only one chapter long, but he said, I needed to spend the rest of my writings as Jude the apostle to urge you to contend, to get ready for what? A fight. A fight. Amen? How many of you know it's Easter week, it's Holy Week, but the devil doesn't rest on Holy Week. He works overtime. And so although we could just, you know, sit back tonight and just talk about how wonderful the resurrection is, I felt like I needed to urge you to contend, as Jude said, right? Now look over at 1 John, a couple books to your left. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That last part is the focus that I want to hone in on. Jesus reveals to us here why he came. Why did Jesus come? To destroy. That's a strong word, isn't it? That's a combat word. Years ago, there was a radio host who used to say, war is for killing people and breaking things. You remember that quote? Who was that? Rush Limbaugh. That was his quote. War is for killing people and breaking things. I thought that was so funny. It's kind of crude, but it's true. And, you know, combat talk is rough. And John says here, Jesus came not to be nice to everybody. You know, Jesus didn't just come. You know, some of the paintings you see in the religious world of Jesus, you think, man, he wouldn't harm a soul. But Jesus came, the Bible says, to do some destroying. Destroying the devil's works. Amen. Not people, but the devil's works. That's violence. Jesus came to do violence. And I'm telling you, every one of us in here, we could get up and stay here for hours, you know, to tell the story of our life or the story of our childhood, or maybe even before we were born, the difficulties that were brought on to our parents, potentially, for even just getting us into this world, right? Life's a fight. Amen. And John says here, Jesus came to destroy those works. All those triggers, those things that trigger emotional responses in us, things we call hooks. You know, you ever been somewhere and like the devil just trying to hook you in with a temptation, whatever it is, something of your past, maybe your temper, impatience, whatever, you know, appetites of the flesh. All those hooks, those triggers, those appetites, complexes. How many of you know the devil works overtimes in the life of children to create complexes, right? To destroy them as adults, hinder their potential. Rejection's a big one. Rejection's a big one. Devil works overtime. I just, you know, our kids, man, my heart goes out to kids nowadays because I know the cruel world that is out there for them. And you just want to kind of protect them, don't you? You just want to, let's put them in a cocoon until they're adults, right? Let's keep them safe because there's so much harm potential. But Jesus came to destroy that stuff. Amen. This is what the beauty of the local church. When you come into the church, God starts just breaking stuff off of you, start shaving stuff off of you, washing stuff off of you. Amen. It's a good thing, isn't it? He came to destroy the works of Satan. And that is a lifelong process. We're all being chiseled, like I said, washed, refined by the work of the Holy Ghost to destroy those works of Satan. God doesn't want them to remain and hinder our life. I'm really strong on this idea that God wants us to live a good life. You know, there are some denominations you could sit in their churches for years and they would, their focal point would be, and it's not wrong, it's just, it leaves you lacking. And it's all about the hereafter, right? It's, you know, I've got a mansion on the other side. What my shack on this side might be falling apart, you know, because they don't teach how to get further down the road financially in God. But you know, they're always talking about the hereafter. But they're not focusing on the victory for now. Amen. We have a victory for now that Jesus has made available for us. Praise the Lord. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to do a little Bible hopping tonight. Revelation 12. I know for some of you, the book of Revelation may seem like a scary book, but I want to tell you, don't not read it for that reason. It's scary for the sinners. Those that are left behind, right? As the old series. Gosh, it's weird saying that's old now. 20, 30 years ago, that series came out, the Left Behind series, right? But those that are left behind, the book of Revelation has a lot of judgment and you know, very scary. It is scary. I mean, to fall under the wrath of God, you know, and God could have done it. I mean, you look at what he didn't do to humanity. And when you read Revelation, you go, I mean, he could have had worms come out their ears till they're just so sick of it, you know, but it's just, I mean, it's kind of like the plagues of Egypt, right? You know, God could make anything happen to torment men for his lack of repentance. And God actually kind of goes easy on humanity compared to what he could do, right? So don't be scared off by Revelation, but also understand this. This book is full of gems, jewels, hidden truths. It's really the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the wrath of God. That's in there too, but it's the revelation of Jesus. Amen. So there's beautiful nuggets in here. Don't shy away from Revelation out of fear. Read the book. Amen. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him. Read it out loud if you have King James. We'll be on the same page here. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. This has been the testimony throughout history, ever since the church was born, of every believer who ever overcame. Amen. He overcame how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. Two-thirds of that has to do with them. One-third has to do with the Lamb. Amen? But Jesus said here, we overcome by the blood. We talked a little bit about the blood the last couple weeks. There's power in the blood. Amen? The blood of Jesus there in heaven speaks a good word over our life. it calls for mercy upon us. Aren't you glad? Amen. And as God's children, even there's times we need mercy. We don't just need mercy when we're sinners. We need mercy even as God's children. And the blood is there crying for our mercy day in and day out. It's also proclaiming a better word for us. It talks of our new birth. Anytime we have to overcome Satan, we have to remind him. When we talk about overcoming him by the blood, what we're really saying there is this blood has given us new birth. This blood is our new identity. Amen. This blood is where our new DNA is found. We may feel like our Paul and our grandpa today. We may feel like we got all the same sins of our ancestors just plaguing us like we saw our forefathers walk in. But the truth is we're in the blood. We've been given a new family lineage. Amen. In Jesus. And that blood enables us to overcome. You may not feel like overcome, but if you'll declare it, if you'll declare the blood has given me a new life, has given me a new start. That is how you overcome. The second part there is by the word of their testimony. That means you say, you declare with your mouth what God declares about you. Amen. That's your testimony. It's not just when you stand up in church and say, hey, Lord, help me with a flat tire today on the side of the road. That's a testimony, but that's not the testimony this is talking about. This is saying you say what God says, amen, about your life. And then thirdly, when it says loving not their lives unto death, that's talking about sacrifice, not something we like to talk about in American church a whole lot nowadays. But there is sacrifice required in the kingdom. Amen. And if you and I are going to overcome, it's going to require sacrifice, namely your flesh and my flesh. Amen. Because your flesh doesn't want to obey God. Your flesh doesn't want to do the right thing. Your flesh doesn't want to grow, doesn't want to make Jesus happy. But if you'll crucify that flesh, if you'll put it in its proper place, Paul said, I beat my body. I make it my slave, not my body isn't my master. My body's my slave. Amen. And that's how we overcome. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. And we do overcome. I want you to know that we may be the last generation, and we may feel like sometimes, oh man, I just don't know if I could ever do what the martyrs of the first church did. You know, I don't know if I could ever stand up for Jesus like they did. I'm telling you, the same grace that enabled them to do what they did in, you know, AD 70, AD 90, is the same grace that's upon you and I. We can do it. Amen. We can overcome. Praise the Lord. I believe the last generation church that's going to be on the earth, it may be us in our lifetime, that we'll see the end of the world. We'll see the coming of the King. Hallelujah. If we are that group, there's going to be a special grace on us. Amen. Because things are going to get worse and worse in our time than they ever were on the other end of the world history. So we're going to need some extra grace. Praise the Lord. And it will be said of us in the end. It'll be said, man, look at that church. Look at what the church of the last days did. Amen. That's what they're going to say about us in heaven. Praise the Lord. Because it's grace. Amen. If it's not grace, we would get the glory. Right? You know, our discipline, our good works, our strength, our, you know, whatever. No, it's not going to be us that gets the glory. It's going to be the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, turn over to Luke 11. Is your faith rising at this moment? Mine is. I'm preaching myself happy right now. So y'all can leave whenever you want to, but I'm staying till I get happy. Luke 11, 24. This is an interesting verse. Luke 11, 24. Jesus said some really interesting things, didn't he? They're not easy to understand sometimes, but this one we'll shed some light on it as we read it. Luke 11, 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I'll return unto my house whence I came out. Now, that's an interesting verse, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that everybody in here, when you got saved, you were demon possessed, but in a sense, you were devilish, just like I was. Amen. I got saved at 8. I didn't hardly get a chance to learn what sin was before I got saved, but it's in there. It was in there. Amen. Sin nature's in us from the beginning. But listen, the scripture says here, when a man comes to the Lord, the devil leaves him. Aren't you glad? The devil left you when you got saved. Praise the Lord. Whatever devil was there from your past or your sin nature, whatever. And it was there. The influence was there at the very least, even if you weren't devil filled, the influence was there. Amen. But it says that devil leaves for a time. And he goes around dry places. But he says, I think I'll go back to, notice his wording there. Jesus says, my house. How the devil claims us as his own. But the blood has purchased you. You're no longer the devil's. But the devil will make an attempt, and he'll do this all throughout our life. We shouldn't kid ourselves that this is just a one-time experience. This is an all-your-life kind of thing. Amen? The sins of my youth, David said, remember not the sins of my youth. The sins of your youth will try to come back on you again and again, all through your life. All the same temptations, same emotions, same feelings. The devil will try to come back again and again because he considers your house his house. But it's not true, because we've been redeemed, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. And so we just got to make sure our house is filled. Now, the next verse goes on to say, he finds the house is swept and garnished. That means the house has been left empty. And he goes and takes seven spirits, verse 26, worse, more wicked than himself. They enter in, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's not going to be our story, amen? Why? Because we keep the devil out. But just be aware, Jesus said this will happen. The devil will try to come knocking on your door again. Amen. Don't be shaken by it. You're redeemed. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and how? You got it, bunny. She's got it. Where were the rest of y'all when I said that just 5 minutes ago? And by not loving our lives unto death. Amen. Praise the Lord. We resist him by the word. Praise God. I like what Mrs. Newsom says about this. She says, when you're resisting the devil, resist him, be it long or short. I like the way she put that. Be it long or short. Sometimes the temptation to just come like a wind, like a, you know, like somebody left the door open in your house and just a breeze blew in. And then before you know it, it's gone. And you think, oh, I don't know what that was. Thank God for those, you know, quick come and go type devils. But many times the devil will come and he will persist and persist and persist and, you know, attack you and come at you and harass you and harass you. And it feels like, man, is this ever going to end? Well, it will when you and I stand and keep standing. Amen. Paul says, having done all to stand, we stand. That means we never quit. And we let the devil know, you know, if you're going to make this a long, drawn out thing, you're up for a fight, because I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Amen. You know, during Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness, in the Gospels, we're only told what the devil tempted him with at the very end of the 40 days. It says after the 40 days, he was a-hungered, right? But I tend to think that during the 40 days, the temptation to eat, you know, if you fast one meal, you're a-hungered. You fast one day, you're a-hungered. And I think that hunger temptation was hitting him all 40 days. I have no doubt in my mind. I have thoughts that maybe the temptation for pride was hitting him during those days as well. Because he had just had the revelation, the audible voice of God at his water baptism saying, you are my son, I love you. God had said that publicly, right? And Paul said later in his ministry, he said whenever he was given great revelations from God, there was a temptation to get into pride. So Jesus was tempted all 40 days with things like hunger, pride, right? The temptation to bypass the cross and just, you know, commit miracles that would wow the Jews instead of going to the cross to save humanity, you know, impress humanity with his miracle power. All those temptations were hitting him all 40 days, but they were intensified. They were intensified at the end. And that's where scripture talks to us about, was that at the end of the 40 days, he was a-hungered. At the end of the 40 days, the devil said, now let's try this. Let's put you up on top of the temple and have you jump down, right? So we're told what happened at the end of the 40 days, but not necessarily during the 40 days. I like this statement again from Sister Newsom. She wrote a great book called The Life of Faith. To believe what we see and feel is not faith, it's knowledge. To believe what we see with our eyes and what we feel is not faith. That's knowledge, right? Because if you can see it, you know it's there. If you feel it, you're pretty sure it's there. That's just called knowledge. But that's not the same as faith. Faith always has to do with the unseen and the unfelt. Amen? I was praying for somebody recently, and I got to tell you, sometimes, you know, when I minister to people in church, I don't feel a thing. And I didn't. But I got a testimony back a short while later that, you know, God had touched this person and it just really blessed me. I thought, man, Lord, even when I don't feel it, you're right here. Amen. Because faith is not about feelings. So I want to encourage you. You lay hands on somebody and you don't feel a thing. It feels like bricks. Just walk off and say, praise the Lord, it's done. That's what faith says. Faith says, I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I just believe it. Amen? I'm going to read just a brief comment from one of my favorite books, Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee. Just a great man of God. And he was had amazing revelation when it came to faith. He has this to say about what is Satan's goal in the life of the believer in terms of combat, spiritual warfare. He says this, Satan's primary object is not to get us to sin. I thought that was interesting. Your ears go, what? But it's simply to make it easy for us to do so by getting us off the ground of perfect triumph unto which the Lord has brought us. See, that's really where what he's after. Jesus has put us on perfect triumph ground through the cross and through the resurrection. Amen. He's already given us complete victory. And Satan's goal is to get us off of that victory, because if we don't feel the victory, if we're not in faith at the moment that I have the victory, then it's easy for us to fall into sin. Do you see where he's going there with that comment? And he says, through the avenue of the head or the heart, through our intellect or our feelings, Satan assaults our rest in Christ. Our rest in Christ. That's what he's after. Our rest in Christ. Amen? I like what one minister said. We do not fight. Terry can quote it better than I can, but we don't fight the devil. We give the devil the word, and the word fights the devil. Right? Because Jesus already defeated the devil. See, if you're trying to defeat the devil, you've lost from day one. We declare the word, and the word fights for us. Amen? We're not out to beat the devil. You're not out to beat the devil. And this is, again, like Watchman Nee said, his goal is to get us out of rest. And many times when we start to feel spiritual warfare and feel temptation and feel sin knocking at our door, it brings us into a place of unrest. And then we feel like we have to swing, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, someone swinging wildly in a fight, and there's a phantom presence there that's not even anywhere near them. They're just swinging and they're not hitting the enemy at all. Why? And he's just laughing. He stands back and laughs at us because he got us fighting a battle that Jesus already won. And instead, we're to stand and just simply declare, I have the victory. I am this. In Christ, I am victorious. Amen. In Christ, I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed in Christ. Amen. That is the fight. It's what Paul called the fight of faith. The fight of faith. We're not called to fight the devil. We're called to fight the fight of faith. That's where the devil challenges us, in our faith. Amen. Well, there's more to say about this. I want to say it is our obligation not to own what the devil brings us. And I've used this analogy time and time again, but when someone knocks on your door to deliver a package you didn't order, you don't have to sign for it. You don't have to own it. This is what, he tries to bond us to feelings, to temptations, to appetites that are not ours. They're his. And we have a choice not to sign for it. Amen. Not to own that thing. And we must choose not to own it. We have to take an attitude that says, I'm not going to stop short of complete victory. Not stopping short of complete victory. What does that mean? I'm not going to live a life of compensating with brokenness, compensating with sickness, compensating with sin in my life. That's a life far below what Jesus called us to. And you know, we can compensate. You know, there are people out in the natural. I mean, there are people in the world. I've heard stories of people who have extreme, I'm talking very, very, very in-depth, like a cocaine addiction, for example, but they learn to function. They're functioning drug addicts, right? And what that means is that they can day to day, they can get through a day, but behind the scenes, they're struggling. They're terribly in bondage. They're terribly, they're not happy ultimately in here, because they know that they're not free. Well, Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. Amen. He wants total freedom for us. And we have to commit to that from our heart, to say, I'm not going to stop shy of complete freedom. Amen. Complete victory. Amen. That's what Jesus purchased for us. That's what Easter's all about. And that's why I just termed this message Easter victory. Because Jesus came, he gave us complete victory in every area. If Easter declares anything, it declares power. Amen. You don't get out of a sealed tomb with Roman guards just outside the rock without the power of God. And Jesus was, when you look at it, I encourage you to study it this week, watch movies on it, whatever you can bear. I actually listened to a teaching today, and it had me in tears when I realized how much Jesus, I mean, it was just, it was almost too graphic. I told Terry, I almost got nauseated. It was, because the crucifixion was the most heinous, invented method of man killing another man at that time. It was the highest form of suffering that man had devised. And it you know, again, Hollywood, they do their best to present it, but it's actually unpresentable. You can't put it on the big screen because it's too torturous. It's too awful. What Jesus suffered for us was to give us our victory. Amen. It was intense, unimaginable suffering, but it's intended to give us unimaginable victory. Amen. Paul calls it the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We're to walk in glorious liberty, not just get by liberty. Amen. Glorious liberty. Praise the Lord. Were you with me that far? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to just conclude this message by saying this. These are the prayer points we're believing God for this week for Easter. And I want you to join your faith with us. I hope this word encourages you to stand, and having done all to stand, stand. And just know that every believer in this room is in the thick of battle just like you are. Amen. There's nobody in here going through something you think I'm the only one that feels this, or I'm the only one being tempted in this way, or I'm the only one who feels like, you know, this sense of condemnation at times, like the enemy's, you know, trying to accuse me. Hey, we've all felt it. Amen. But we're all committed to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's where God's called us to. This week for Easter, I want to give you three prayer points that I want us to all join our faith on. Number one, for the lost to be saved. Whether that's one or 10 or 20 people, you know, I'm thrilled when one person raises their hand to be saved at the end of a service. Amen. But Sunday, well, I'm going to preach the gospel big, and we're believing for the lost to be saved. We're believing for the backslidden to be restored. Amen. There are a lot of people that come to church and they need to come closer to Jesus. And I'll just tell you up front, I'm not going to read Jonathan Edwards' sermon on sinners in the hand of the angry God. That's not going to be my message Sunday. But we do want the conviction of the Holy Ghost for people that are walking the line, maybe playing with sin. We want the Holy Spirit to convict them and say, get it right. Amen. Get it right. Get your life on track and walk this thing. So we want the backslidden to be restored. And thirdly, we want Satan's works to be destroyed. Amen. In the life. And that, you know, there may be only be a handful of lost people. There may be just four or five truly backslidden people that really need to make their life right with God. But all of us have a work of Satan here or there in our life that Jesus needs to come in and destroy. Amen. So we're going to believe for all of that for Easter Sunday. Amen. Will you put your faith out there with us? Praise the Lord. Won't you stand together? In one of the parables Jesus was talking about, he used this analogy and he said, now I want you to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come. How many of you, when you found the Lord, somebody compelled you to Jesus? Amen. Somebody nagged you to get you to church, to get you into a church service. I see some elbowing going on here. And, you know, or somebody really just wouldn't let up. I heard stories of people that, you know, just got invited over and over to church. And you know, it took a compelling to get you and I saved to some degree. I remember as a little boy, I was only eight, so it's not like I was in the bars and, you know, really running with the devil, but it's not like they had to compel me that way to, you know, quit doing that. But I heard the gospel message. This Sunday school class I went to, they preached this. They taught us little eight-year-olds the same thing every week. They just got up and presented the gospel story, and at the end they said, does anybody want to receive Jesus? Well, one day the bell went off in my head, and it was like, this is my day. Right? So in a sense, I was being compelled over and over again. So I say that to say this, if you've invited a neighbor, a friend, a relative to church, and you've invited them over and over and over again, and they've just refused to come, guess what? It's time to invite them one more time. Amen. We're called to compel them to come. Amen. Because time is short. Time is short. Jesus is coming soon. And we have people are hurting out there. They need Jesus's life just like we have. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the victory. Let's just lift our hands and thank him for the victory. Thank him. Well, you may not feel victorious in this moment. You may not feel like you've won every battle, but I'm telling you, Jesus has won it for you. He has won the battle for you. You are the victor. You are the champion in him. And Lord, we thank you for that complete victory in our life. We thank you, Jesus. We don't have to fight for this. It's what you fought for. It's what you won for us. And we take it by faith tonight, the Easter victory you provided for us. We thank you for it. We walk in it by faith, not feeling. We walk in it by faith, and we thank you for the power of God meeting us at our point of faith in Jesus' name. Help us this week, Lord. Lead us to the people that you want to bring to yourself, to your cross, and to salvation. Jesus, to show them the wonderful price you paid out of love for them. We thank you, Father, for opening their eyes and then bringing them to the cross, Jesus, through our witness and through our words, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go. Praise the Lord.